This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back here on WEEI. Top of the final hour, Dan Ball. We've almost made it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing we've gotten to this point.
We talked like 2 hours of Patriots.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
Excuse me. Shout out to Justin Turpin coming in talking Celtics with us. With Paul Skeens Nugget.
Yeah.
I'm still battling my cold.
How you feeling? You doing all right?
You know, it's... Michael Jordan only had to do 48 minutes with his cold. I have to do 4 hours. What the hell?
Talking no less.
Yeah. Talking.
Talking.
Anyways, we've heard a lot of thoughts on Josh McDaniels. We've given our own thoughts on Josh McDaniels and the coordinator hires as a whole. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get to the conference championship games a little bit later this hour. But I did want to play this cut from Chris Hogan, a guy that played for Josh McDaniels, won multiple Super Bowls with Josh McDaniels, led the NFL in yards per reception in 2016 under Josh McDaniels. Yes, I know Tom Brady was here for all that too. I get it. But I think it's a unique perspective. So this was Chris Hogan earlier this week talking about Josh McDaniels.
Here's Josh McDaniels in a broad stroke. He is one of the best offensive-minded coaches I have ever been around in my entire career. The way that he game plans, the way that he coaches the game, his level of expectation. This is what this team generally needs, right? Is someone that's not going to take that wants it done a specific way and is gonna put guys in the right position to succeed. What you're going to get with Josh is guys are going to be put in all different sides, different positions. He's going to set people up. He's going to set Drake up so that he knows what the coverage is. He's always going to go to the huddle with two plays. He's always going to be put in a better situation, at least from a game plan perspective. Yeah, I like the idea of a little bit of consistency and familiarity with Josh.
So you don't have to just believe me, Dan Ball, when I say it's a really good hire.
Right.
You can believe a guy that won two Super Bowls here in New England. And for those that missed it earlier, I'm a big supporter of the Josh McDaniels hire. I think it's how multiple he's been in his career. Like, look at the 05-06 offense when he first took over, to 07, to 2012, to 14, to 18, to 2020 with Cam Newton, to 21. I have a lot of faith he's going to find ways to maximize Drake May's strengths.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you went through the non-Brady examples in New England earlier on in the show, and all brought slightly different skill sets to the table, and yet he was able to adapt the offense accordingly with what he had around him. And also, aside from May, because I fully trust him way more than the staff that was in place last year to identify what makes Drake May special and maximize that. Because remembering from a season ago, there were really next to no design runs for Drake May at any point. And then all of a sudden, the question got brought up in the media right around the bye week. And all of a sudden, here was Drake May with all these design
runs.
That
was weird.
Yeah, just completely... You know, not at all answering the question from the media and changing the play calling to represent that. But I do have a lot of trust that he'll be able to identify what makes him most successful and model the offense around that. And he also should have a better feel for these are the players that we need to bring in, or these are the players currently in the building in New England that I can use in X, Y, and Z way. So to your point about Pop Douglas, and I think it's worth restating, a guy like that that has a lot of athleticism should show a lot of versatility if put in the right spot. That's a guy that you could expect him to look at and go, okay, he wasn't deployed the right way. He's not a traditional X receiver in this offense, but he should fit in this way, this way, and this way, and this is how Drake can then use him.
Yeah, and I would add Kendrick Bourne had the best season of his career for right. Josh McDaniels, and I'm a huge McDaniels supporter. I'm a supporter of Mike Vrabel. Neither one of those guys plays left tackle, right, yep. or yep. X receiver or whatever. So, like, the roster's still the biggest issue here, but I have a lot more faith in the direction of the Patriots than I did a month ago,
yeah.
6 months ago, even a year ago. I have a lot more faith in their direction. And I'll add Terrell Williams as DC in there, too. And I wasn't against the DeMarcus Covington hire. I just think Terrell Williams brings a little more experience. I know he'll help a defensive line that regressed last year. But I have a lot more faith in just where they're at today than I have at any other point in the last year.
So this is the question that I want to put on your radar. I think that there's an understanding across the league that the Patriots are in a better spot right now than they were 3 weeks ago, for example. Just in terms of NFL circles, other coaches, front office personnel, whatever. Are there enough players that are going to view New England as a desirable place to play to where you can fix your roster problem in 1 year's time? And does the Vrabel and McDaniels hard-ass style of building a culture, does that help the Patriots accomplish what they need to?
So there's two things that attract free agents, winning and money. You sure as hell don't have the winning,
right.
but you do have the money, and I think it's not even so much the Vrabel McDaniels, it's the Drake May factor,
okay.
which I think will attract. But knowing if I'm a free agent that Drake May is in good hands, that helps a lot.
Okay.
Like, if they had kept all of last year's coaches, I think it might have been a detriment to them in free agency because guys are looking around and said, these guys don't look ready for it. Yeah, it's year two, but I don't know. I'm not going to risk it going there. Now, at least, your coaching staff will not be a detriment to you in free agency. I don't think it's not going to be like, you know, somebody wants to come and play for Bill Belichick in the glory years. But I think it's, again, at least not a detriment. And that's going to matter because you're still going to have to offer the most money. But we saw them last year offer a lot to Calvin Ridley and get turned down. Offer from reports the most money to Brandon Ayuk and get turned down.
Yeah.
Now, at least, I think if you offer the most money, you don't get turned down, if that makes sense. Like, I think
yeah.
at least with this coaching staff, and this is a team, now they've sucked for 2 years in a row. They have kind of a soft schedule, at least on paper right now. If they can get this right in the offseason, they can win 4 or 5 more games. And I don't think you're a playoff team, but you're knocking on the door of the playoffs. And then free agents might look at it and say, wow, look how much they improved. You know, Mike Vrabel's first year, Drake May's going into year three. This is obviously talking next year.
Yeah.
Now I'll go there.
Okay, that makes sense. So, and that implies a free agency where you don't necessarily need to be great. You don't need to be flashy, but you do need to be effective. And that's why the point that was brought up earlier about building in the trenches, I think is the best way to get yourself competitive quickly, because at least if you can protect the quarterback, you'll have a chance for your offense to move the football down the field at a rate that can beat bad teams. And conversely, if you can get to the quarterback, you'll make other offenses uncomfortable to where even if your offense isn't having the best day, you're still not going to get blown out. You can limit what some of the better offenses in the league can do in terms of explosivity. So, and it's cheaper to do that. It's cheaper, and it's compared to bringing in a top-tier T. Higgins wide receiver, it's cheaper to build in the trenches. And if you couple, by the way, and I didn't get a chance to hit on this before, but I completely agree on trade down. I would be shocked if the Patriots pick at 4, unless Abdul Carter is still on the board.
Even then, and I love Abdul Carter, the prospect, and yes, you do need some help on the edge defensively. I mean, you need a left, like, you have so many high-end needs on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Even then, I'm like, I don't know.
And you have three teams, or you still have teams around you. I look at the Jets and the Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders as teams that you can still weaponize if per chance, there's a quarterback still available at four where you can do that and stay within the top 10.
And if you look at the money they have to spend, it's not an either-or proposition. Like, you have a top 10 pick in every round of the draft.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of money to spend. You should be able to upgrade the offensive line in more than one spot and upgrade receiver and maybe add a running back to the mix. I know Stevenson will still be here, but maybe add a younger dynamic back to the mix, add an edge player. And I'm not telling you you're going to add a bunch of all-stars, but
yeah,
with the money and the draft capital you have, you should be able to improve any area of need that you need to. If that may, like, you should,
yeah,
you have the money. You it's not like you're up against the cap where you have no real cash to spend, or you're picking at 28 overall. Like, you're picking in the top 10. You have a bunch of real cash money to spend because you haven't spent much in the last 5 years or 10 years. So there's really no, and there's players available that fit your needs.
Right.
Like, there's great offensive linemen available in free agency. There's good receivers that will be available either free agency or the draft or trade. Like, there's linemen in the draft. There's edge players, second, third round guys. So the guys are there. It's, can they get it right to now complement this better coaching staff they have?
Because the roster is bad to the point where you, between the draft and free agency, should probably turn over anywhere between a third and half your roster if you're able to. I know that's extremely aggressive, but you need depth and high-end talent at almost every position on your roster other than quarterback and cornerback one. So there's no harm in, as you said, doing it both ways. If I'm bringing in a short-term veteran offensive lineman, no reason I shouldn't, on day two of the draft, go and draft his backup and allow his backup to grow behind him and hopefully have a situation play out where even if you have an injury, you have a capable backup that's stepping in. So the best thing that you can do is deepen your roster, even if let's work in the hypothetical world where a player like a T. Higgins, or we heard the comments from DK Metcalf, which hurt but were true, about the cost of living and
17 degrees out today too. Yeah, yeah.
Other non-football things that go into playing in New England. Even if maybe you're not a draw yet for a generational type talent, you're wide receiver one in the league. Say T. Higgins doesn't quite trust Drake May and Josh McDaniels because he just hasn't seen it yet. That doesn't mean that you're SOL and up the creek on your entire offseason. You can still be good, push for a wild card spot in a perfect world, and then in 2026, then maybe all of a sudden you're more of a draw because there's a sample size in front of you.
What I want to know, and we won't know this until after the draft, what is the assessment by Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels of this roster, especially the offense? Like, do they look at it and say, last year there were injuries, there was bad coaching, we're going to do a better job, so we don't need an edge player, or we don't need another tight end. Like, we'll get a lot out of Jaheim Bell. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or do they look at it and be like, man, this is not it. Like, we need,
right.
And I think we won't know the answer to that till after the draft and see what their strategy in free agency and the draft is. But
were there good players playing on a bad team, or were there bad players who were like, just the least
bad? Mike Vrabel say, I'm going to get a bunch out of Keon White that they didn't get last year?
Yeah.
Does Josh McDaniels say, Mike Onwenu is going to be an all-pro, playing for me, and last year he wasn't, and Ramondre Stevenson's not going to fumble the ball seven times and lead all running backs in fumbles, I'm going to get him back on track? Or are they like, man, this is good thing we got multi-year contracts because this is tough. Like, yeah. And I think that's something, again, we probably won't know that for 5 months.
No, that's true. And unfortunately, you're not going to be able to change over, 50 guys on a roster in one offseason. So there are going to be some situations where even if they do identify a Keon White, for example, there's nothing here. Like, this is not a player that we can build around. Well, you also have pressing needs elsewhere, so maybe you have to just make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what with some of these players who are the least of your concerns compared to other areas on your roster, like offensive line and wide receiver.
Got a lot of other NFL news to get to. Obviously, the conference championships tomorrow. There is a coach in his 70s back in the NFL. Not the one that used to be. Actually, yes, the one that used to be in New England. We're going to get to all that and more coming up right after Tom Crisafulli tells us what's trending.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI. We've talked a lot of Patriots. We still have some other NFL storylines connected to the Patriots that I want to hit on. We're going to talk about the AFC and NFC championship games tomorrow. And talk about Pete Carroll getting hired by Tom Brady and the Raiders. Maybe even talk about the other former Patriots coach recruiting trip around New England.
Interesting.
Sweet. Yes. But first, we did...
As they sit back and laugh at the state of the NFL right
yes,
now?
Yes,
of course.
It's a big F you to the NFL.
That's what they say. Right.
Let's get one final Patriots coaching staff thought. We got Steve and Fall River on the line. Steve, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Wow. So many things to talk about, this Pete Carroll thing. But we'll get back to that in a second. I'm not doubting that the Patriots coaching staff is better than they were last year. But I'm really wondering about the legend of Josh McDaniel. He was hired in three different places. In other words, three times where he didn't have Tom Brady. And three organizations said, this was a bad idea. The last two, horrible ideas. Chris Hogan can say whatever he wants. He had Tom Brady. That's the knock on Belichick. That's why he doesn't have a job. What he did without Tom Brady is the same thing that Josh McDaniels did without Tom Brady. Bupkis. I'm worried about Tom Brady's comment to an unknown player. Maybe you guys know who it was in Denver where he said, maybe it wasn't a player. I could take a high school kid and make him an NFL quarterback. I don't want to hear that. We're being compared to the Washington Redskins, what they did in 1 year versus what somehow we'll be able to do in 1 year. But it's not the same. By the way, Washington has a third-round pick starting at left tackle, by the way.
Yes, they do. Steve, thanks for the call. It's a good point, right? Washington did a much better job setting up their young quarterback than the Patriots. And look, the McDaniels thing, I understand where Steve's coming from, and he's not the only one that feels this way. But I think you got to separate the head coach and the OC job. And even you could say, oh, Josh ran his offense in Denver. He ran his offense. And that's true. But it's a heck of a lot different to be a head coach and to be an OC. And I think as an OC, he's proven year after year with multiple different quarterbacks, he can do a great job. As a head coach, he's proven multiple times he cannot do a great job.
Right, right.
And I think it's just, I think you got to be able to separate, like even that Rams year in 2011, he was the OC, they were bad. They had three different quarterbacks, 11 different offensive linemen, one good receiver in Brandon Lloyd. So you had the context, it was a pretty bad situation. Despite saying, oh, Sam Bradford was Rookie of the Year 2 years before. Well, by the time Josh was there, it wasn't a good situation.
Right.
So, I mean, I get where Steve's coming from. I do. But I just think that if you separate it from the head coach to the OC thing, that's like if they were hiring Josh McDaniels to be head coach, I'd be like, eh.
Yeah, yeah.
But as OC, I'm a big proponent.
And to take it a step beyond that, but to use the same logic in the Belichick argument, I personally think the jury is still out on what Bill the coach would have done moving forward. Bill the GM just screw the pooch. Like that's really
cost
where
Bill
you're,
the coach's job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. GM Bill got Coach Bill fired. And, you know, would Coach Bill have been able to win with the Mac Jones led group with a better roster around that quarterback? I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe we're still having this same conversation. But you're not bringing in Josh McDaniels to be your head coach. You're bringing him to be the OC, as you said, just like you're not bringing Bill in to be a GM anywhere. You'd be bringing him in to be a head coach if you wanted him as a head coach. So I think it's a well-put point to say if you separate them, at least it gives you stability. A guy who's been there, who has a sample size of doing well within the Patriot system. I say that very clearly to make sure it's understood because his mindset hasn't worked elsewhere. But it has worked in New England.
Okay, so we mentioned Pete Carroll, a 70-something-year-old coach, 73 to be exact.
Yep.
Who got hired, interestingly enough, after getting fired by a place that he won a Super Bowl at and taken a year off.
How about that?
That resume sounds a little familiar. but look, Pete Carroll to the Raiders. It seems like the Raiders wanted Ben Johnson. He went to the Bears. They pivoted to Pete Carroll. This is interesting because looking back now, we all know Bill Belichick got fired here. If you go back and watch Pete Carroll's press conference the evening before Bill got fired here with Seattle, he definitely got fired in Seattle. He did not want to leave. There's tears in his eyes
yep.
in that press conference. So he gets fired. He gets a job. I mean, and Pete Carroll is a really good a Hall of Famer, to be honest. And especially if you come, and I know it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but if you combine what he did at USC and the NFL, I mean, that's a Hall of Fame coach. Why do you think, Dan, he's sitting here with a job? By the way, hired by Tom Brady, he gets a job, and all these other Bill Belichick doesn't have a job.
I mean, the word that comes to mind is likability, and I just think that with Pete Carroll, there's an understanding for me that he's there to settle the ship in the short term, and at least bring a little bit of continuity to the Raiders. They've had 9 coaches since 2011. And they've had 5 since 2020 when they moved.
Three of them, right?
I know, that's the thing. They have a full staff's worth of coaches on their payroll. Given the fact that he's 73, about to be 74, clearly he's not the coach that you're trying to make into the next Belichick, where he's there for the next 15, 20 years. But you know that he'll be a player's first guy. He'll help a culture that has gone through a lot in Las Vegas. And that's not only coaching change. That's the Henry Ruggs situation. There's been a lot that's gone
on
in Vegas.
Even the way John Gruden kind of had to give that job
up.
Yeah,
there's been a lot in a short amount. Yeah. McDaniels didn't help that with the whole trying to copy the Patriot way with the Raider way and whatnot. So he's a player's first guy. He's going to help with the culture in the room with what you do have. And I think he's kind of there to usher in an uglier time in Raiders football, where I think there's going to be a lot of roster churn that goes in a short amount of time. I think he has the temperament that can help you through that situation, where I don't think Belichick would want to come into a situation where you know that your team may not be very good, but you're here to be the steward for the next generation. I just think Carroll gives you a chance to do that.
So I think there's one word that describes why Pete Carroll has a job and Bill Belichick doesn't.
Okay.
In the NFL. Patience.
Yep.
Bill didn't want to wait.
Right.
And I know there was that report. There was multiple reports, obviously, when he was hired. There was the one in The Athletic that he had kind of had some back channel conversations and hadn't gotten affirmative answers like, oh, yeah, if we fire our guy, we'll hire you.
Yeah.
But at the time, the Cowboys were still set with Mike McCarthy. Obviously, that situation changed drastically. Not that Bill was ever going to come back to the Patriots, but they fire their coach and then take Mike Vrabel off the market, who maybe would have gone somewhere else. You look at, obviously, there's the Brady Raiders thing. So I think it came down to he was sitting there in December, and he was probably pissed off at the NFL because teams weren't just, like, salivating for him, calling and saying, oh, my God, we're going to hire you. And he got a little impatient, and he said, oh, North Carolina will give me $10 million bucks and full control. And by the way, I read that contract that he signed the other day.
Yeah.
25 hours use of the private jet for personal use.
Wow.
Every year. Yeah, not bad.
How many to the girlfriend?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
Relevant question.
Yeah, fair. But I think he got impatient. And I think Pete Carroll sat back and said, you know, first of all, and I will say to Pete Carroll's credit, probably wouldn't have required nearly as much control as Belichick would have.
Yep.
Even if Belichick wouldn't have required his New England level of control, probably still would have been a little more than Pete Carroll.
Right.
But I think Pete Carroll was a lot more patient. He said, yeah, I'll wait. You know, Ben Johnson will go somewhere. Maybe I'll go the other place. Or Mike McCarthy will go somewhere. Maybe I'll go the or maybe one of these playoff teams will have a really disappointing end and they'll fire somebody and I'll go there. And he waited around. And the Raiders' job, they didn't get Ben Johnson. They didn't get Mike Vrabel. So they got Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And I think the patience factor is big. I mean, you look around the if Bill Belichick had been more patient, I think the Raiders might have talked to him. I think the Cowboys might have hired him. I think if the Bills lose tomorrow and Bill Belichick was available, I'm not guaranteeing they would do it. They might have thought about making that switch. But I think because he was impatient and maybe even a little nervous that he wasn't going to get a job, he jumped at North Carolina. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the week he signs his contract finally, Pete Carroll gets hired by the Raiders.
That's an interesting point with the timeline and all this. But the patience element of this, I also extend to the situation that Pete Carroll is walking into. Because I don't think the Raiders are going to be competitive.
And especially, very side note, in that division?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're hoping for a wild card contention, I think, by the end of... So 3-year contract with a 4th-year option. So I don't think it goes into a second contract because now we're talking about him being 77 and turning 78. I know he's a spry 73 right now, but the stress of being back on an NFL sideline is going to speed up that the aging process. It's just Father Time is undefeated. I think Pete Carroll can be patient and understanding and accommodating and see the process through for the Raiders as they try to build up an actual core of good football players. With Belichick, I look at him as a coaching candidate in an extremely specific situation. He's going after the wins record. He's probably going after the one Super Bowl away from the Patriots that Brady got. And he's also in his 70s. So you have to be in a window to win, and it has to happen within the next 2 or 3 years. And you have to have a roster that's already capable of winning because you know that Bill doesn't necessarily have the feel to build a championship roster from scratch or the patience to do it. So I see Carroll fitting into a lot of situations because of the temperament that he brings. And Bill, unless you are a Buffalo Bills where you're right on the doorstep of winning a championship, I just don't know how many situations he fits in.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, you can even add the Liam Cohen situation with Jacksonville, too. Like, would Bill have gone there and won a bunch of games? Sure. Would they have gotten to a Super Bowl, though?
Right.
Or enough for the wins record in a year? I don't necessarily think so.
Right.
So I think that's a fair point, but you did just describe the Dallas Cowboys.
That's talented.
Team that could contend for a Super Bowl, even if Bill wait. And look, the Philadelphia Eagles are nuts. So what if they lose a bad game to Washington and they fire Nick Sirianni? I think it would be dumb, but I mean, they ran Doug Peterson out of town and he won a Super Bowl. So wouldn't shock me. Not saying it'd be the right thing, but it wouldn't shock me. So I just think it was a... Would Bill have as good experience with the Raiders as I think Pete Carroll will? Maybe not, because of the talent, the lack of talent, the fact that they need to, I guess, I'd probably take a year, maybe two, building to the point where he'd even be in range of the wins record.
I think so.
Right, and you
need a quarterback. You need a lot.
Like the Bears. The Bears are a better situation. I think they were just really poorly coached last year.
Yeah.
So the Bears and the Cowboys fit. But you're right. Some of these others, like even Jacks, like New Orleans.
Nope.
I don't think that's a good situation for
Jets going in the wrong direction for him.
Yeah, like they're
as funny as that would have been. Yeah, that would have been funny.
They have more talent than the Raiders, but
yeah,
it's still the Jets. It's like, I don't know. There's something off there. So I don't know. I look at these teams that hire coaches, and you're right. Pete Carroll's options, because of what he might be willing to accept, are probably bigger. Because I think Pete Carroll with the Raiders is a really good bridge coach.
Yeah,
like he'll be there 3 years. Get them on track, maybe go into the playoffs 1 year, that last year, and then maybe he'll turn the reins over to someone. Maybe have that fourth year. Whereas Bill, age-wise, he's in that ballpark, but I wouldn't look at him as a bridge coach. I'd look at him as a guy who wants to go somewhere to win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And wants to get the wins record of all time. That's why even, I think if he, and play this out with me,
mm-hmm.
if he's at North Carolina and somehow they win the national championship, you better believe there's going to be anonymous sources or Wickersham articles saying, people close to Bill say, see, I told you so, Robert. See, I told you so.
We didn't need the NFL.
He's going to use that.
Yeah.
And, by the way, to his credit,
if he even gets to
the Final Four, the college football playoff, the semifinal and the Rose Bowl, the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a part of his legacy in a positive way. But just like right now, I think his lack of patience hurt him. Because I think if he hadn't taken the North Carolina job, I think he'd be the head coach of either the Bears or the Cowboys right now. I really do. But I think he didn't want to have the patience, and maybe he was a little nervous.
I'm so glad you said that, because when that news came across, it felt a bit like a panic move.
Yeah. Because I'm like, North Carolina. And this is going to sound disrespectful. It's a great school, cool uniforms, but as a football school?
Oh, that's just stating a fact.
Yeah.
It felt like preventing yourself from having your reputation damaged beyond repair, where there will be 6, 7, 8 coaching openings this offseason and you get passed over.
Yeah.
It felt like two years
in a row, by the way, because last year Atlanta interviewed him, didn't take him, and no one else talked to him.
Right. You're out 1 year. All right. There wasn't a fit for you. You're out 2 years and now you're 70, whatever he's going to be, 72, 73. Then you're just an ex-football coach.
If you're out 2 years, you're out.
That's right.
I'd be shocked if you were back in. But
right.
Yeah, you're out 2 years, you're out.
Right.
Yeah. So I think his lack of patience hurt him a little bit. And again, if he goes to North Carolina and they go deep in the college football playoff, somehow win it all, you better believe he's going to use that. And I'll give him credit as part of his legacy. I just think if he had more patience, who knows, maybe Tom Brady would have convinced him. Said, hey, Bill, let's
do you
do
think
this.
They would have wanted to work together again?
I do. I think they're past that animosity. I do.
Okay.
I think that animosity was real in 2017 and 18 off the field. I think it was real in 2019 and 20. I think after that 2021 game here, ever since then, it's softened up a little bit. I think they can compartmentalize it enough to know, hey, we were awesome together for 18 years or whatever it was, and they can move forward. I do. The animosity was real.
Yo, yeah.
I do think they're past it now.
Okay. I would think for Brady it wouldn't be an issue because he's the shot caller. I'd be really curious to hear how Bill, you pump him full of truth serum, would feel about taking orders from Tom.
And I think that might be part of it. You know, maybe be like, Tommy, you know, let me do my thing here.
Right. Exactly. Like, do I really want to be in that dynamic?
I will say, how many owners that you would report to would have any semblance of the football knowledge as Brady?
That's a great
point. Right?
Yeah.
Very few.
That's a good point.
Like, maybe if Bill respects Jerry and Stephen Jones and it sounds like they're tight, that would be one. But even then, it's not Brady.
Right.
Like, so I don't know if there'd be another owner that Bill would look at and say, like, all right, I know he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And boy, just on that last point that you made, just for what we do as people with microphones in front of our faces, Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick.
There's still a chance.
Just say please.
There's still a chance.
Just for what they say about each other on radio.
There's the on-field. Imagine Bill coaching Micah Parsons. Like that offense with like good coach. Anyways. But
Bill's face when Dak throws another stupid interception in the playoffs.
That's true. So,
perfect. Beautiful.
Let's get to the conference championship games. Any leftover thoughts? I know you were on air all week from the divisional round.
No, nothing major. I'm thrilled to see Buffalo in this situation to have another crack at Kansas City. I do feel better about their chances this year. But who would have thought the NFC East would be the division in the NFC that ends up reigning supreme? And in the same breath, I don't know about the Lions. They had a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the football, but you lose both your coordinators under Dan Campbell. I wonder where the window is.
So I think the window is still there, but I think it's going to be a year gap. Kind of like when the Eagles, remember they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, lost both coordinators, now they're back.
Yeah.
They had that year gap. I think that's what you're going to see out of Detroit.
I think
there's going to be where they're still going to be good, they're talented, but not only did they lose their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, Terrell Williams probably would have been the guy they promoted, and now he's here in New England. So I think they promoted Kelvin Shepard today, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know a ton about him as a coach.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I do think Dan Campbell's a pretty good coach. They have an elite roster. They'll be good next year.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it'll be a year gap between where they're at now and getting back to where being one of the best teams.
Yeah, Philly's a good comp for that. And, I mean, you'd have to feel pretty good if you're Detroit knowing what it could look like in 2 years. But, man.
Shout out to Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Detroit, too. Like, McLaurin has the 58-yard touchdown catch and run. Two plays later, you throw a pick six.
Right.
So Detroit goes from having a 14-10 lead to they're down 24-14. Then they throw another end zone interception. Then they score. Then they get it to 31-28, give up a long TD drive. Like, so it's like they made so many mistakes of their own with two new coordinators next year. I don't know if they fix all that, but 2 years from now, maybe they could fix a lot of that, if that makes sense.
I don't love the Washington and New England comp. I know they just drafted their quarterback.
I don't think it's that good a comp. I said this in the summer. I did shows with people here when I said you should sit Drake May and Jaden Daniels should start because the situations are a lot different.
Yeah.
They are.
Oh, of course they are. And they still very much are. And no matter how much roster improvement that you do this offseason, you also have a different philosophy. Washington gutted everything from ownership down and brought in a new philosophy. This is just bringing in stronger coaches to extend the Patriot Way philosophy. And no, so I think I understand that there are some. It's a correlation, not a causation.
You have no one on your offense as good as Terry McLaurin.
Oh, not
and their
close.
Offensive line is better than yours.
Right.
And Cliff Kingsbury was light years ahead of Alex Van Pelt. Now, I take McDaniels over Kingsbury, but it's close.
Yeah, okay.
And defensively, yours might have been more talented last year. Theirs was better coached. Even Dan Quinn, I know we remember him from 28-3. He was still in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like,
Matt Ryan doesn't take that sack on third down. We may be having a different conversation.
He was still at least in the Super Bowl. So, all right, the game's tomorrow. Is it Buffalo finally going to do it? Are they finally going to beat KC in the playoffs?
Hmm. We doing this now?
I want to know.
Let's do it now. I think they are.
I do too.
I think it's fool's gold that I'm saying they are, but because we've thought all year that Kansas City's going to lose this game, and then they kick a field goal, they block a field goal, they this that the other thing happens to make sure that they win. I do think that this could be the year because Buffalo got worse. Based on every metric, it looked like they got worse this offseason. Yet Josh Allen is playing better than I think we've seen him play to this point in his career. However, Sean McDermott-led defenses have an incredible ability to blow it despite very good performances from Josh Allen, which worries me, but I do think Kansas City is the most susceptible this year, and I think they can get it.
So I think Buffalo is going to win for two reasons. One, red zone offense for Buffalo. They're second in the red zone. Kansas City defense is seventh. So that's a matchup of two legit units.
Yeah.
I give Buffalo the slight upper hand in the red zone, mostly because of James Cook, not so much Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that, and also to what you just said, if you're not going to do it now, you're never going to do it.
That's right.
I mean, and look, Mahomes and Reed are the new Belichick and Brady. You can never really pick against them. But if there was ever a year where it's like, this is like the 2006 Patriots or the 2015 or 13 Patriots where they're really good. They have the two big dogs, but the supporting cast around them is so hurt or so depleted. If you're not going to get them this year, like if Peyton Manning wasn't going to beat Brady in 06, he was never going to beat him, like ever. And if he didn't beat him in 13, he was never going to beat him again. Right.
Right.
If they don't beat him, they're never going to beat him. If they don't. So I think I know that's not scientific.
Yeah.
But it's the red zone, and if you're not going to do it now, you're never going to do it.
I still feel stupid for saying that I think Buffalo's
going to
win.
I think it's a fair point because it's so hard to pick against them.
Yeah.
I did last year, and I felt like an idiot.
Every bit of logic that goes for, well, Buffalo's better, this, that, the other. Allen's at an all-time level. Kansas City looks weak. They've had so many games where they should have lost, but they didn't. They're the worst 15-2 team that we've ever, like, they always find a way. And the NFL isn't afraid to help them get their way, too. That's been a conversation all week.
There is one other game tomorrow, but I want to get into it on the other side of this break. Final segment of the show coming up next here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Final segment here on WEEI. Nice little 4 hour Saturday afternoon show, Dan Ball.
Yeah.
We survived-ish, almost.
Yeah, you made it all the way through?
So far.
Yeah.
5 minutes to go.
Been ripping through the cough drops during the breaks, but... Which, by the way, credit to you, because those things take more than the 5 minutes that we have to get down. So you've been moving quickly through.
Not all heroes wear capes.
That's right.
We got into, and we both think the Bills are going to win tomorrow, finally overcome the Chiefs demon in the playoffs.
Yep.
Philly-Washington. I mean, last time they played, that was a banger. Washington won in the last few seconds. I mean, is this, hey, just gravy for Jaden Daniels? He made it this far. Or is this like they can win this game and go to the Super Bowl?
I think they have what it takes to win, but even if they do end up losing, I don't expect Jaden Daniels in this offense to go quietly. Like there's just a fight in this Commander's dog on offense that I don't think anybody would have predicted would reach this level to this point in the season. So I would ultimately side with the Eagles on this one. I think the injection of Saquon Barkley not only has brought this offense to another level, but it's really taken a lot of pressure off of Jalen Hurts, who is prone to making mistakes in these kind of situations, fumbles and interceptions and all the kind of stuff that's kind of kept him from advancing to that elite tier of quarterback. So I would side with the Eagles, but it shouldn't be anything less than entertaining at this point.
So Saquon Barkley's played the Commanders twice this year, and he's gone for at least 145 rushing yards both times.
That's so stupid.
He's going to have another big game. I think the Eagles are going to win. This is going to be a lot about the Eagles' offensive line and Saquon Barkley. I think don't be shocked if Devonta Smith has a big game. And the reason I say that, Washington's going to devote resources to A.J. Brown.
Sure.
They're going to devote resources to Saquon Barkley. Does Devonta Smith get some solo matchups, get some space to run? Don't be shocked if he has 80 or 100 or more than 100 yards receiving, a touchdown. I could see this being a really big Devonta Smith game, and he's the X factor in an Eagles win.
I like that. What does it mean to you if Jaden Daniels loses this game? Is he playing with house money where you can't really take anything away from the season he's had?
So it's tough to be like, you're in the conference championship game and it's house money because you never really know if you're going to get back there again.
That's fair.
But kind of, yeah, because he's a rookie. They were picking second overall last year and they have the foundation. Like, as of now, Cliff Kingsbury has not accepted a head coaching job anywhere. He may be back next year.
Right.
Even if he's not, you have the head coach quarterback combo that looks good. Mego and Scheim talked about this on the show before us. Jaden Daniels, real argument for the best rookie quarterback ever.
Yeah.
So if he can build, and even if he's not elite, if he can build on that and continue to be great, that's a team. And that division, too. Like the Cowboys, they're going to have a new head coach that's not going to be Bill Belichick, most likely. So I don't know if they're going to have a year that's going to take them to get back to where, you know, to being good. Philly, if they win the Super Bowl, there could be a hangover. If they don't win the Super Bowl, maybe there's some tension there, right? So the Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL. So there's a spot for Washington to be a playoff team, not just right like they are right now. Next year, year after, throughout most of Jaden Daniels' rookie contract.
And I think there's already an argument to be made right now that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC. There are good quarterbacks around him.
I would put Stafford over him.
Okay.
That's kind of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love was above him at the beginning of the season.
And
I
Love might be, too. Like, Love is a lesson for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Really good year last year. It's not always linear.
So. That's true. But, I mean, if you're saying at worst that he's top three, that's not only incredible, but would suggest exactly what you're saying, which is nobody's going to come out of, even if the Commanders lose, say they lose by, you know, they lose by a score, 10 points, whatever it ends up being, because I do think Philly has a lot to love going into this game. And you mentioned a couple of the big things. Nobody's going to come out of a Commanders loss and go, well, that's it for Washington. They'll be in these conversations for a while. And even if it's not with the roster as currently constructed, it seems like they also have the coaching staff and the front office staff under the new ownership that is going to keep them relevant for
a while. Jaden Daniels could play bad tomorrow, and there will still be a lot of hope in Washington.
Absolutely. 100%.
So that does it. Lions and Ball, 2 to 6 p.m. today. Dan, it was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Right back at you. Had a
shout
lot of fun.
Out to Joe Braverman. Great job the first hour. Tom Crisafulli, ever since then, great job. Huge shout out to Justin Turpin for joining us for two segments to talk Celtics. Shout out to all the callers and texters as well. Dan, it was a pleasure. Everyone else, have a great night.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.